listening to the Miles to Go podcast, the go-to source for travel tips, news, and reviews you can't afford to miss. Now, here's your host, travel expert Ed Pizza.
Welcome back to another episode of the Miles to Go podcast, where we bring you the latest travel news, tips, and tricks each week to help you save money and travel better. It's been a bit of a rough week in the travel world, what with United's announcement about a dynamic award chart and some rumblings about American Airlines and potential similar changes there. We don't have all the details there, but I have a feeling we'll be doing an episode on that coming up in the near future. We've also got a segment on a new app that can help save you money the next time you're getting ready to book travel, and a status match opportunity for road warriors that could be pretty lucrative if you're looking for a new hotel chain and some good elite status. Before we jump into all that, I want to take a moment to ask you guys to share the show with a friend if you're enjoying listening, and I'd love it if you would subscribe and rate the podcast wherever you're listening, like Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, SoundCloud, Stitcher, things like that. All those things help us grow the show, and we really want to do all of those things. If you have a question as well, we'd love it if you'd send us in those questions so we can answer them in a future episode. You can shoot an email to me, ed@pizzainmotion.com, and you can find me on social media, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all at Pizza in Motion. So let's talk about United's dynamic award chart changes for a second. For starters, what does that mean in plain English? Well, a dynamic award chart, which is something that Delta has already done, means that the number of points required to book your next award ticket will go up and down in relation to the cash price of that ticket. That's kind of been in place today, but there have been limits on how high and how low that can go, and there have only been a few different categories where those awards could fall into. What United is saying now is that that's going to be greatly expanded and much more closely match how much they're selling a cash ticket for. And they tell us that they're doing this to help manage demand and that folks who have flexibility with travel will actually spend less miles. And while that is probably going to be the case, that doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be a better value, especially if the tickets are much cheaper from a cash standpoint. For families, pure and simple, this is bad news. We have to travel when all the other families travel, which drives up the price. Summer, Thanksgiving, Christmas, Easter, spring break, you know, these are all the calendars that we live our lives by. It's not the worst part of these changes, which we'll get to in the final two pennies at the end of the show, but this is pretty bad. It's going to mean a lot more planning. It probably means getting not quite as much value for our miles, and there are some strategies that I've mapped out to help you here so you can get the most out of your miles. And these aren't the only strategies we'll be discussing more in the future, but just wanted to drop a couple in your mind that you may already be thinking about. First tip is you need to travel when everyone else doesn't. Obvious, right? You just find the one school system in the world with a different calendar from everyone else. And if you can't do that, what we really mean here is take a good, hard look at your school schedule. You want to look for gaps that maybe you didn't notice before when you were focusing on the traditional breaks. I kind of hate giving out this example because I don't want it to lose its effectiveness, but our school system is always closed on Election Day, typically that first Tuesday in November. They also close on that Monday for a teacher work day. That's a sneaky four-day weekend. And if you were to take off Friday, you've got yourself a legitimate five-day trip somewhere. Not that I'm advocating pulling kids out of school. We do it from time to time and make sure that they take their schoolwork with us. For us, that week is typically a slower week at someplace like Disney World, a place that we always like to sneak away to. So we've planned a trip most years down there for that little break, when things aren't quite as busy and prices aren't quite as high, and they sort of get a little bit of a deal and a value when the crowds are a little bit softer, while really not having the kids miss all that much, if anything, from school. A second tip is travel where other people aren't. And a good example of this is back when Norwegian Air served the Caribbean from New York and Baltimore. They had service to a couple of islands that you may or may not have heard of, Martinique and Guadeloupe. And neither of these islands are as developed as Aruba or the Bahamas. You're not going to find a ton of places to redeem your hotel points if you're looking for a Hyatt or a Marriott or things like that. But these islands are warm. They have beautiful beaches, great culture, good food. And I think it's a good example of getting all the things that you want in the Caribbean while thinking a little bit outside the box. sometimes you might need to pick a different destination and hold off on maybe your quote-unquote dream trip because of pricing until you find a better deal. It's the reason our family is going to Australia during the North American summer, if you will, when it's winter in Australia. We'll miss out on a few things because it'll be a little chilly, but otherwise we're going to have a wonderful trip. I have a number of friends who say, chase the fare, not the destination, meaning book cheap trips when you have them available. As long as you keep looking, planning, and traveling, you'll get to all those other places that you want to get to, which is totally our goal here on a weekly basis. With that, we're going to be sharing more tips in the future, and unfortunately, I think we're going to be having another one of these conversations if American makes changes. So stay tuned for all of that. We're going to share with you a new travel app that I think can help save some money on your next trip right after this break. We'll be right back on the Miles to Go podcast. This week's show is brought to you in part by AutoSlash. AutoSlash does one thing really, really well. They save you money on car rentals, and not just a little bit. They're always free to use, and there's two separate ways that they can help save you money. First off, if you start your booking process at autoslash.com, you'll enter in some key information, Costco membership, AAA, frequent flyer memberships, and they'll take all that information along with searching for any publicly available codes that you might not be aware of, and they'll find the best price for your specific car rental, which you can then go ahead and book. After you've booked, you can enter your car rental reservation into their tracking tool, and it will continue to track whether the price has gone down on your car rental or a new code becomes available that would save you more money. They'll notify you, and you'll be given the chance to rebook that reservation for less money. Even if you don't start the booking process with AutoSlash.com, if you booked it somewhere else, you could take your reservation number, key it into AutoSlash, and they will continue to track that reservation for free and let you know if the price goes down or if there's a discount code maybe you didn't know about right up until you pick the car up. Tons of different ways to save money with AutoSlash. It's 100% free, always 100% free. Give it a try and drop me an email. Let me know what you think about it. You can find them at autoslash.com. Back on the Miles to Go podcast, and we've got Gil back with God Save the Points to talk about something that I almost can't believe is true. Hey, Gil, welcome back.
Hello, Ed. How are you?
I am doing awesome, man. How are you?
I am fantastic.
Divided by an ocean once again, but both excited about the same thing.
Never far enough.
Yeah, well, you can keep flying if you need to. So Gil wrote about a product called Parabus recently, and I kind of sort of knew about it in the back of my head, but I hadn't spent much time on it. And Gil, you've actually done some testing on it, but let me tee up real quick what this is for folks, because I really do think it could be a game changer. For folks that may not have heard of it, there's a product called AutoSlash. In fact, they are a sponsor periodically of this podcast.
Shout out AutoSlash.
Shout out AutoSlash. And so what AutoSlash does is they take your car rental, whether you book it through them or someone else, and you they'll track that rental for you and notify you if you can get a better price. And they continually work at it, and they generally save you a bunch of money on your car rentals, which is awesome. And so Parabus is essentially the same thing. And I have some things that surprised me about it, but that's essentially what the product is. It's something that helps you find a lower hotel price. Is that right, Gil?
It's exactly right. And the thing that strikes me with this is that they've gone further in terms of making it easy for you than others have. You know, there are lots of solutions that kind of promise to maybe try to help you find something, or, you know, you put in your search or whatever and it gives you results. But this actually helps you from kind of conception to rebooking without too much effort. And for me, as I assume probably is with many of you, effort is a big part of all that.
For sure. And I think the thing that surprised me the most is not that somebody was able to come up with a service like this. It was when I was reading in your post about how folks like Expedia were partners. And then it went further to say that Marriott was a partner. And so that puzzles me a bit, because I generally feel like the OTAs would definitely be a player here in this space. But the large hotel chains, I sort of feel like they want a moat around their product and they want everybody to book direct. So I was a bit surprised to see them wanting to jump in this pool and offer up the ability for people to save money on existing hotel reservations.
Yeah. So within that, sorry to give you like a legal disclaimer, I think that they're specifically partnered with Priceline, and they're compatible with Marriott and all these other things. So at least for now, that friendliness seems to be there. I don't see why it wouldn't. I mean, I totally get your point. I think hotels are doing everything they can to make people never want to stay with them again, starting with the booking process. So, you know, anybody messing with that could be seen as an issue. But at the same time, this is a really fair solution. And I think it's one that everybody should be using, frankly.
I think everybody should be using it too. I just, from a NIT standpoint, I just don't know how much the hotels want to educate their customers that prices change and could go down after they book.
Yeah, I think, but I think that's that kind of classic thing where we know that anyway, don't we? You know, I think everybody knows that. And the more they pretend that that doesn't happen, the more they look like fools for trying to pull the wool over our eyes. I think the smart brands are playing ball and saying, yeah, look, we know that this happens. If you book a refundable rate, which is what Paribus works on, then you can get this discount. I feel like I'd love to explain to everyone basically what Paribus is, since we haven't really introed that. But essentially, Paribus works, like Ed said, like AutoSlash, where it works on any refundable rate with a bunch of OTAs that you've booked with, or Marriott or Hilton. And when you book any refundable rate, it then tracks it with like multiple search pings per day. And if it finds a lower rate, it emails you like a Google Flights alert would do. And when you get the alert, it actually, you just kind of confirm that all the details are correct, that it's the same rate, it's the same, you know, non-smoking king bed or whatever you're looking for. And then it actually rebooks it for you. So it does all the work and just takes care of business, which I think is really cool. At least in as many situations as it can. And so for me, it's that not having to grind to try to find that rate and reproduce it, or thinking that it might be expired by the time I get to it. The app apparently actually validates the rate at the time you click the email. So it makes sure that whatever you're seeing is actually active content, which I think is awesome.
Yeah, and I think the reason why I wanted to cover a segment on this was specifically because I'm not sure everybody thinks like you and I do. You and I absolutely continue to check for things like this and look for deals. But I also think that the typical person who goes on only a couple of vacations a year sort of has their checklist. And it's like, well, let me get my airline tickets booked. Check. Let me get my hotel booked. You know, check. Let me get a rental car. And they don't necessarily, you know, jump back through the list to see if they can do better. They're just trying to get the trip booked along with getting the groceries done and getting the kids to school and, you know, getting to work and, you know, getting that report to their boss. So I think this is a good reminder that you can save money when you're booking a vacation by continuing to look. And the great thing, it seems, about Paribus is that Paribus is going to do a bunch of that work for you.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. And I think you're totally right about how people think. I think about my parents or my in-laws or any, you know, anyone, their big concern is that the place is going to sell out, you know, so that's kind of their panic. It's like, oh, we got to get something booked so it doesn't sell out. And within that, that's where I think booking refundable rates are completely underrated, because many of them allow you to cancel up until, you know, like, let's say the day before, or at the very least the week before. And so you're locking in that safety of, okay, there's going to be a place and worst case, we pay that rate, but then there'll probably be an opportunity to book it at a better rate sometime before then anyway. And so like all the stress is alleviated, and you also have the flexibility to then let something like Paribus just do all the work and checking for you every day, like multiple times a day, and book it for you when the rate drops. I think it's pretty compelling. And I think you and I are both pretty kind of, you know, devil's advocate type people, in the sense that there just aren't that many compelling things out there, and this is definitely one of them.
It sure is. And so for folks that are listening in, we'll obviously have a link in the show notes, but to Gilbert's post, but Paribus is P-A-R-I-B-U-S. And I guess the question is that since it is in beta, can regular humans like us use it, Gilbert, or is it just for, you know, fancy schmancy people like you?
It's just for people like me. No, I'm kidding. It's completely available for everyone. Right now, I believe it's limited to the US, but, you know, that isn't usually a big issue. So yeah, if you're in the US and you have hotel reservations, specifically refundable reservations that you'll be booking, I'd say give it a whirl. You have absolutely nothing to lose. The thing that is a sticking point for many people is that it crawls your inbox. Like, you essentially give them inbox authorization, and then it looks for any hotel related emails that it can help with. It can also work on retail purchases and other things, And for people who are kind of panicked about that, I personally don't care. I just assume all my information is on the internet. But for people who do care about that kind of thing, what's often the best advice is to create an email inbox just for your travel itineraries, or even just for, you know, specific hotel itineraries, like, you know, GibbsHotelItineraries@gmail.com. Someone could go grab that. But that at least lets you allow them to search your inbox without coming across whatever sensitive classified documents you may have in yours that you're looking to protect.
Yeah, the NSA already has all my stuff anyway, but you bring up a good point.
Exactly.
I do think there are folks that are hesitant to give somebody access to their entire email box. And as you say, I think there are ways around that, having an inbox specifically for this. There's also, and I'll see if I can dig this up for the show notes, but there's a feature to Gmail, if you're on Gmail specifically, that's really meant for folks with kids, I think was the original intent of it. But I think you can have, and I'll try to remember the naming nomenclature, but let's just say that, you know, I'm ed@pizzaandmotion.com. I think what you can do with Gmail accounts is something like my daughter named Kat, you know, kat.ed@pizzaandmotion.com will send email to her and also to me so that I can track it. And so in theory, the other thing you could probably do here is something like parabus.gib@gmail.com and still have everything funnel into your main inbox.
Right. That's a good call. It's a great call.
I just have to look up that naming convention and put it in the show notes for folks. But I'm really excited about the possibility of Parabus, because I think ultimately the role that it has in the greater travel search world is, in my opinion, a lot of the folks that ask me questions aren't necessarily nerds like you and I who try and break the Come on, be honest. Look in the mirror.
Okay.
I've seen how you dress. Come on, man. they're not doing the robust, you know, checking and research to continue to try and find ways to improve their trip. And I think, you know, if they can set it and forget it with something like Parabus, just like with AutoSlash, then, you know, they're able to continue to find ways to save without having to do the heavy lifting.
Totally. And I think within that, people are probably thinking like, oh, well, how long are they going to do it for free? And to me, the answer is that most of these things end up getting purchased by a hotel chain, so they can kill them. but for once, it's actually a bank that bought it. So Capital One essentially owns Parabus. And I believe their intention is for it to always be free and always be for everyone. So with any luck, long may it live.
Long may it live. And you never know. It might end up being a feature of one of their cards in the future. That wouldn't shock me. But that also would be probably a pretty decent reason to have a card in your wallet.
It would definitely be a value add.
All right, man. Well, thanks again for being on the show with us. Hopefully I will see you in person soon. But until I do, tell folks where they can find you hiding.
You can find me in a bunker somewhere beneath Parliament. And when I'm not there, it's usually at godsavethepoints.com, best place to find me.
And God Save the Point on Twitter, as he likes to say, because they couldn't afford that last S.
We're going to buy it someday soon. You keep clicking those links, we'll get there.
Well, maybe if the pound goes back up after Brexit happens. If Brexit happens. When Brexit happens. Well, one of those two.
That's a whole different segment, buddy.
That's a whole show all on its own. Safe travels, Gil. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, sir. Always a pleasure.
We'll be right back on the Miles to Go podcast. Back on the Miles to Go podcast with another It's a Big Deal segment, and we've got Jen with us again from Deals We Like, talking about my favorite hotel chain, Hyatt. Hey, Jen, welcome back.
Thanks for having me again.
Yeah, and it sounds like for all of the you know what that I give your husband Adam, he really scored here and uncovered a pretty cool status match challenge that Hyatt's rolling out.
That's right. Yeah. He did some good. Finally. I give him a hard time.
Adam scores a win.
That's right. And he's going to be so proud that he's going to have like higher status than me at Hyatt. So he feels really good about himself.
So break this down for folks. How can they take advantage of it? This is specifically geared towards business travelers, right?
Right. So this is actually the same promotion that they ran last year, and they kind of put it on hold last November, and it just went live again beginning to mid-March. So ultimately, Hyatt is rolling out kind of a status match, and then you can continue on to get that match status via a challenge through February of 2021. So if you work for what I presume to be a large corporation, there's not an actual list of companies that I've been able to uncover. If you enter your company email address, you might be able to enroll in this particular promotion that would allow you to get Explorer status immediately, like no stays required, for the next 90 days. Then during that 90-day period, if you stay 10 nights, you'll maintain that Explorer status. And 20 nights, you'll actually be upgraded to Global status. And that is the status you'll then receive through February 28th of 2021. So almost 2 years of that heightened status, which is pretty awesome. And I love heightened status. So that's a really good opportunity to receive it easily.
Yeah, and everybody who's listening knows I love Hyatt status as well. And I think, you know, the shortcut to Explorers is great for business travelers who are, you know, loyal to another chain and want to come over and figure out if Hyatt's the right place for them. And then, you know, 20 nights is not a small number, don't get me wrong. But for a business traveler, very achievable in 90 days to lock up what, as you said, you know, is over a year's worth of top tier Hyatt status. And at least from where I sit, I still consider Globalist to be the most valuable top tier status of the hotel statuses. So to be able to get it for 20 nights is pretty darn good in my book.
Absolutely. And it doesn't just have to be business stays within those 90 days. It just needs to be eligible paid stays. So even if you have personal travel that ends up covering, you know, within that 90 day with your family or friends, that will still count to those 10 or 20 nights you needed.
Yeah. And I think, I wouldn't swear by this, but I think points and cash bookings count for that.
That I don't know. My husband did specifically ask about point stays and they said, no, he didn't ask about points and nights because he probably doesn't even know that that exists.
Oh, Adam gets thrown under the bus. Timestamp 3 minutes and 20 seconds. Adam gets thrown under the bus.
That's for sure. So I don't know, but usually you're right. Those types of stays do count for, you know, promotions and whatnot. So I don't know. I'll try to find out and we can update the blog post with that information.
Yeah. So for folks who are thinking about this as an option, we'll definitely get back to you on points and cash. But if you've got an upcoming vacation that's part of other business travel, you know, you might want to consider looking for points and cash rates instead of straight points rates. You know, again, if that qualifies, to help you get to the 20 nights, because I don't think you're going to find a more generous status match offer for a more valuable status than this year. So it's definitely something that I would be focusing on if you're a business traveler and you think you can hit the 10 or 20 nights to get you know, a year and a half or more's worth of status.
Absolutely. And you have until the end of November to register. So if you're not staying at Hyatt over the next few months, you can wait until you foresee some good, you know, stamina staying at this Hyatt program.
Yep.
No need to, you know, plan accordingly. And one thing I do want to point out, though, is while global status is awesome, last year, I think it was, Hyatt introduced these milestone benefits. And so while you receive suite upgrades and lounge access and other good perks with staying, you actually need to stay those nights to receive those benefits. So just having global status will not get you those automatic suite night upgrades that you can apply to upcoming reservations. You actually need to stay the 50 and then 60 nights to earn those upgrades. So there are some benefits of actually earning status the hard way. But just having some status when you walk into a hotel room definitely does, you know, increase your chances of getting an upgrade. Having global status will still automatically get you access to the lounge and some other good benefits. But just keep that in mind if you're going for the challenge.
Yeah, for what it's worth, I will say, you know, just from my personal experiences, it's April as Jen and I were recording this, and I have yet to use one of the Globalist Suite Upgrade Award certificates on a stay that I've stayed in yet. I have one for a stay coming up later in the year. I have not stayed one yet, though, and for all of the full-service properties I've stayed at so far this year, which I'm guessing is probably about a half a dozen different ones this year, I've been upgraded to a suite in every single one of them. So I wouldn't, you know, Jen's absolutely right. You won't get the guaranteed upgrades right away until you hit your total number of nights. But I think Hyatt continues to be generous with suite upgrades overall.
Oh, I agree. I mean, I didn't have suite upgrades available, and I still had global status, and I was just upgraded to this amazing 2-bedroom suite in Clearwater. And then last December, I was upgraded, actually, over the Christmas time period, I mean, a peak time, upgraded to a 1-bedroom suite with a full kitchen at Bahamar in the Bahamas. So suite upgrades are still very generous at many Hyatt properties.
Yep, I would agree. All right, well, thanks a bunch, Jen. I can't wait for people to jump on this one. When you're not hopping on the podcast with me, tell folks where they can find you.
Absolutely. Everyone, I hope you enjoy your upgraded status. You can find me at my blog, dealsbelike.com. Send me an email, dealsbelike@gmail.com. And then via Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, everything is at dealsbelike.
Thanks a bunch, Jen. Safe travels. We'll talk soon.
Thanks, you too, Ed. Bye.
While we're taking a quick break from the show, I wanted to let you know about our monthly Amazon gift card giveaway. Each month, we're going to give a $50 Amazon gift card to one of our mailing list subscribers. As long as you stay subscribed, you'll have a chance to win each time we have a giveaway. We'll always send you the best travel info, and we'll never sell your email address to anyone. You can subscribe right on our homepage, milestogo.boardingarea.com. Back to wrap up this week's show with the final two pennies. And I said at the top of the show that we would talk about what I thought was the worst part of the United Airlines dynamic award chart changes. Make no mistake, this is a bad change. It might not be the worst change we've seen, but it's definitely a bad one. And yet, just the move to a dynamic award chart is not the worst part of these changes for me. The part of these changes that I really do find, you know, almost inexcusable is the lack of notice. Sure, I mean, United will tell you that the changes affect flights on November 15th or after, and that kind of sort of sounds like you have some time to book things, except we don't. We had no time to prepare for this fact. It was announced to us, and the prices changed immediately. Now, some of them didn't change drastically, and that's probably intentional. United will probably wait before they dial up the dynamic award changes, if you will. But if you were saving for an award and you were playing by the rules and you were flying with United or spending on their credit card yesterday, you know, the new rules today, if you will, have impacted you and you did everything that you were supposed to do. I never like when programs make decisions like that because customers are making long-term commitments to them when they put a credit card in their wallet or they commit months of business travel. And I think it's important to note that when they were faced with a major decision where they could choose a customer-friendly path or an outcome that was better for them, United chose themselves. It's an important lesson for us to be reminded of. There is one little nugget in here that was positive, and I think it gives me an idea of how I would have liked to have seen United handle these changes. They did away with what are called close-in booking fees. So if you booked an award, say, a couple of weeks prior to departure, they would charge you a fee for the privilege of doing that. They weren't big fees, but it was sort of an annoying tax on awards. And it got me thinking, here's what I think United should have done. I don't suspect they're going to do this, but I really think they should. If they're going to move to a dynamic award chart, then they should waive changes on award tickets. So right now, unless you're a top tier elite, a 1K, let's say, you pay a fee when you want to change your award ticket. So if you found a routing that cost less miles as you got closer to departure, maybe it went through a different city or you changed your destination because you found a cheaper trip, United's going to charge you a cash price per ticket to change that or refund the miles back into your account. And, you know, quite frankly, I think if they're going to balance this and say, hey, we're doing this for the good of the customer, the dynamic award chart definitely hurts because it lines more closely with the cash value of the tickets. I think if prices go down or if customers are able to find something that saves them money, it seems fair to me that United should say, that's fine, we're going to let you make that change. And if you need to price out something that costs much more points because you can only travel during, say, a typical, you know, family school schedule, you know, spring break or something like that, you're going to pay more. If you find a better way to do it, make the change and we're not going to penalize you for that. It's actually the formula that Southwest uses. They don't charge you changes. They'll allow you to change an award ticket and a cash ticket for that matter if the price goes down. And they don't charge a fee to change. I think here with award tickets, that would have been a good way to recognize that customers have put in time and commitment and they're searching for awards. And if United makes a decision that they want to lower award prices closer to booking, they're sort of guaranteeing that they're still going to get a hefty price from the customer by keeping those change fees in place and prohibiting folks from wanting to change to a Achiever Award. Just doesn't seem like much of a win for me, and I think there were ways to make this more customer-friendly, if you will. That's a full wrap on this week's episode. If you have questions, I'd love it if you'd shoot them to me at ed@pizzainmotion.com or on social media, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all at Pizza in Motion. Quick thanks to Gil and Jen for helping me make a great show this week. And as always, Mike, our producer, for making everything sound super awesome. We've got some segments on track already for next week. I've got some stuff with our friend Summer from Mommy Points, Jen, and some other fun folks putting together episodes for the end of our spring break travel season, as we hopefully don't have any more bad news announcements like United this week. But until then, we've got miles to go.